The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I am officially the champion of one of my two fantasy football leagues that I'm in this season. And of course, luckily, it's the one that mattered the most, the one where I actually win some money for this. So my team kicked so much ass this year that because, you know, with the results of the Monday Night Football game not ending up being finished and being canceled, not all fantasy leagues have really closed out yet. Because the league hasn't really decided what they're going to do about that game just yet. But I kicked so much ass, and I even had Josh Allen and Samaje Perine as two remaining players on my my roster, and then my opponent had Joe Mixon. So I was most certainly going to run away with this even further, but my grand total for my championship round ended up being Team Crazy Crack is kicking that ass. 251 to 185. And not only did I kick so much ass, I also was the highest scoring team in the league. So that gave me a little bit of extra cash. And so I walked away with $400, bitches. So yeah, as long as I win some money, that's pretty fucking dope. I am kind of pissed off I didn't win my league. But shout out to the homie Simon, El Nino squad. He took home the championship. He has such a huge lead because his opponent has Josh Allen still, but I think Simon's got like a 50-point lead, so I'm ready to call it. I was actually going to congratulate him on Sunday, but I didn't really want to jinx it. I didn't really expect Josh Allen to go off for like 50 points. It takes a lot for your fantasy team, one player to get you 50 points, and I didn't really expect him to do that anyways, but... yeah, he's got a good enough lead where I'm ready to call him the champ over White Mount Palookas. It was a great run for Simon, too. You know, he actually was struggling there for a minute. He was at the bottom of the barrel in our division. And then the last, like, month and a half, maybe, he started making a run and started beating all the really good teams in the league, except for me. I kicked his ass in the regular season, but then he was my first opponent up in the playoffs, and he kicked my ass, went on to win the championship, and he's also the first three-time champ in my fantasy football league. It's been going for, God, I think 10 or so years I've been running this same fantasy football league, and Simon's been a part of it from the jump, and he won it 2 years in a row, like long ago. Years ago, I think back in like 2013, maybe I can't recall. It was a while ago. So it's been a minute since he's won, but congratulations to the homie Simon. He is now the official champion of the Footballaholics League. All right, so let's get into the Monday Night Football game that unfortunately did not happen, but it was the right call. I'm sure, as you know by now, safety Damar Hamlin went into cardiac arrest on the field, and right in the basically in the beginning of the game, I think it was the Bengals' second drive. As a matter of fact, wasn't even a bad hit either. You know, we've seen many bad hits that you go, wow, how's that guy still standing? But this one was very, I would call, a routine tackle. I mean, it didn't even look like he landed on his head. So, who obviously none of us know what actually happened. They haven't really said what's happened. It's really just more about the dude's health at this point. I'm sure at some point we'll find out what happened. It does kind of look like it's a possibility that as he was making the tackle, T. Higgins, the wide receiver who he tackled, just all his body weight just happened to maybe land on his heart at the, you know, the right/wrong time. And he just, it was crazy too, because he just got right up, but then he fell down like completely, like he just passed out. And I remember when I was watching it, and then I was the first thing I kind of look for when I'm seeing these things is are they moving? And what I noticed is his legs were not moving. Nothing on him was moving. And then the next thing I noticed is I see one of the Bengals trainers like frantically kind of like get over here right now. And then when they went to the commercial break and then they came back and you could see the coach of the Bills, you saw him, and when he was welling up with tears in his eyes, I knew that's when it was serious. And then they go to a lot of the other players who begin crying. That's when you really know it's serious, because football players, actually athletes in every sport, they see fucked up injuries. But when they went to commercial break after this, they came back, and Joe Buck had to let us know that, unfortunately, Damar Hamlin ended up needing CPR on the field for 9 minutes. And so when they announced that, I was like, whoa, no wonder why they were crying, because they did just see a very traumatic event unfold right in front of their eyes. And you just don't know what's going on. And just when you see that, it's just crazy. So then he was taken by ambulance to the hospital. Luckily, his family was already in the stadium. So luckily for them, they got to go with him to the hospital. They didn't have to hear any of it secondhand, because I can't even imagine how his family members would have felt if they were watching that on TV and they can't get any answers or anything, really just what's being said on TV. So I am happy that his family actually was there for him. They're able to be there for him right now. So that's also great. Also, it seems to me that we did get some good news today from the doctor, saying that he is, he's now breathing more on his own. He still has a way to go. But it was an extremely crazy thing to see. Obviously, none of us have seen anything like this. And then, of course, it did look like there was a possibility they were going to resume the game. But in my personal opinion, when I saw players crying on the field, I was like, there is no way these guys are going to be able to erase that thought in this moment of time and go back out onto the field. So eventually they did call the game. And, like I said, that was the right move. Obviously I don't blame anybody in that. And so that was just what had to happen. And they don't know. They essentially just canceled the game. They haven't announced if they're going to replay the game at some point. I kind of feel like that's near impossible. In my personal opinion, I don't think it really matters. It does matter for, you know, seeding sake. But really, in the full scheme of things, I just kind of feel like you just move along. Don't count the game as a win or a loss for either team. And you just go into the playoffs as is. And if it affects seeding, it affects seeding. It's just, it is how it is. I just can't see how they would at some point be able to just throw that game in right before the playoffs happen. I just don't see it. If there is any positive outcome of this, though, it is the amazing outpouring to Damar Hamlin's charity. He had a GoFundMe account for his charity, which is it's a children's toy drive, and their goal was just to raise $2,400, and as of today, they've raised $6 million. So if anything good came out of that story, it's for sure that. And hopefully Damar Hamlin's able to wake up, live a normal life again, and hopefully he's able to see what the result of what happened to him on Monday night is, because I feel like he's going to be super surprised. I mean, I'm sure that charity is losing their mind right now, not just because of his injury, but they're probably like mind blown, and I'm sure his mind will be blown as well when he wakes up and finds out that happened. So that's a very positive thing to say about it. It is nice to see that for the most part, the reaction to all this has been positive. Nobody's really been pointing fingers. There really haven't been any like anti-NFL sentiments, because that tends to happen a lot when any type of controversy hits the NFL. There's always certain talking heads and certain anti-NFL reporters and publications who just always report negative shit about the NFL as anytime they can. And you really haven't seen much of that. at least yet. I'm sure at some point it's going to rear its ugly head. I think the majority of us are really more concerned with DeMar Hamlin, and hopefully his health progresses in the positive direction. I did want to say, though, shout out to everybody who worked for ESPN, because when that happened, that there was really nothing they could say, and they really handled it very professionally. I mean, of course, they're all professionals, and they've all been doing this for years, but that was a really difficult task for all of them. So from Lisa Salters to Troy Aikman to Joe Buck to Susie Colbert to Booger McFarlane and Adam Schefter, like, they all were able to keep their composure as best they could, because you could see all of them basically were fighting through tears, because that's just something none of us have ever seen on the football field. And they had to be very professional. They all were able to carry themselves in a great manner during that time. And shout out to all of them, because they all did a great job handling that that horrible event. And then I just also wanted to point out, too, T. Higgins is the wide receiver who landed on him. I've seen a couple of stupid idiots actually, like, try and blame him for this. And nobody's actually really brought him up and really kind of wondered if he's okay. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to project here, but I imagine he feels pretty bad. Regardless, I mean, it was just a regular tackle. He obviously had nothing to do with this. This was a total freak accident, at least from what we can see, what we know. And it was a football tackle. He landed on him like he always lands. So this is most certainly not his fault. But I hope he's doing okay. I hope he's not blaming himself, because it's not his fault. But I'm sure there's a good possibility he feels pretty bad about this and is feeling some type of guilt in some way. And hopefully he's not. Like I said, I could be projecting, but it's a good possibility he's feeling some type of way about this. And I've noticed not really anybody's been bringing him up, because I'm sure he's pretty fucked up over this, because he was significantly involved in this this event, and he had no choice. He just caught the football like he normally does. So I hope he's doing okay as well. Now let's move on to more uplifting things in football, and that would be my top 10 NFL power rankings. We did have a little bit of shakeups here, but for the most part, it remains the same. I would also like to note this is going to be my last top 10 NFL power rankings since we are headed into week 18, the last week of football. I don't usually see a point in doing a end of season power rankings. To me, once we hit the playoffs, it doesn't matter where anybody's ranked. We're in the playoffs, and let's talk playoffs. So that's why that's going to be this last week of the top 10 NFL power rankings. But this is also going to be the last Wednesday show of the football season, since football season's ending. And so we're going to go back to Monday and Friday only shows until football season begins again. So let's get into the top 10 NFL power rankings, beginning at number one, the same team it's been for a couple weeks now. That would be the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 12-4. And this team is just killing it. They're on a 9-game winning streak. They are playing great on defense. They're playing great on offense. They didn't have such a great defensive performance against the Raiders, but hey, you're not going to be great every single game. George Kittle has really found a connection with Brock Purdy. I feel like he's averaging about 2 touchdowns every game now that Brock Purdy has become the starter. So, and you know, Kittle, he started off the season slow just because he was battling through some injuries. And then when you get back in the game, sometimes it takes a minute. And then once Brock Purdy took over, it's like, boom, he's scoring plays, like scoring touchdowns like no other. On the season right now, he's got 736 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. So Kittle is having a great season. Bosa on the defensive side of things, he's still killing it. He's got 17.5 sacks on the season. And Christian McCaffrey, he just keeps getting stronger with each and every game. So the 49ers look like they're ready to go for the playoffs. And there's a good possibility this weekend, depending on how certain games go, 49ers could end up with the top seed in the league come playoff time. So we'll see what happens. A lot's at stake in week 18 this weekend. Then number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I kept the Buffalo Bills there, at record of 12-3. I mean, it's not their fault that the game was canceled. And so, I mean, you can't say anything negative about them or because they're still, to me, a damn good team. I kind of feel like there's a good possibility that this this incident with DeMar Hamlin is probably going to fuel them for a pretty good playoff run. We'll see. You never know how people react to those kind of things. But I kind of have a feeling that's what it may lead to in the end. So I still have the Bills at number two. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Cincinnati Bengals, overall record of 11-4. I couldn't bump them down either just because you can't hold it against them. What happened in the game on Monday, because it didn't finish. They started out really hot. Looked like they were going to go on a tear. Looked like we were actually going to get the back-and-forth scoring affair. We thought we would. But unfortunately, we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe sometime in the playoffs we'll see that matchup. But I could not drop the Bengals down either, just because there was nothing negative to say about them, and they actually started off that game pretty damn hot. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 13-3. And they just keep rolling behind Patrick Mahomes. The guy is now passed for over 5,000 yards. He leads the league in passing yards at 5,048. Passing yards, 40 touchdowns. That's also league leader, and 12 interceptions. So he has not cooled off at all. As a matter of fact, he's actually getting hotter because now he's added back in running around. So you really got to now add in that element yet again with Patrick Mahomes. And then Travis Kelce, he's at 1,300 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns on the season. So the guy is just having a great season as well. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Dallas Cowboys, overall record of 12-4. CeeDee Lamb just having a phenomenal season, 1,307 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. DeMarcus Lawrence also having a great season. He's obviously not like the standout guy because Micah Parsons has just kind of turned that role on. But D-Law has played a significant role on a lot of big plays. He's forced 3 fumbles on the season, which is huge. It's kind of feels like if Parsons doesn't get in on the play, D-Law somehow gets in on the play. So he's been having a great season as well. Then Deron Bland, he still continues to have a great season, and he just stepped in at third-round rookie pick with 5 interceptions on the season. So he's looking really great. And then just overall, the defense is getting a lot of turnovers. They've got... And then once they get the turnovers, they're getting points on them as well. And they've had 3 fumbles returned for touchdowns this season. So overall, the Cowboys are actually playing pretty well at on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. And but we all know where all the questions lie with the Cowboys. And that's come playoff time. So we'll see what happens next week. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Philadelphia Eagles keep on falling. They are 13-3. They have lost 2 in a row. Ha ha ha. But I mean, they still are a pretty good team. I mean, defensively, they're killing it. Offensively, you know, you got Miles Sanders at running back, who's rushed for 1,236 yards and 11 touchdowns on the season. But then you look at their 2 wide receivers. Smith has 1,129 receiving yards on the season and 7 receiving touchdowns. And then you go to the other side, A.J. Brown at wide receiver has 1,401 receiving yards and 11 touchdowns. So these guys are just big playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. And then you turn over to the defensive side of the ball, and Hassan Reddick has 16 sacks on the season. Like, he's right there behind Bosa for the league lead in sacks. So Reddick is just he's a huge difference maker for the Eagles right now, but they have lost 2 games in a row, and so that's pretty hilarious, and now they are falling, and they are losing at the wrong time, so we'll see what happens come playoff time. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 10-6, and I mean, they're on a really nice winning streak right now. They've beat some pretty good teams. Justin Herbert has passed for 4,466 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 10 interceptions on the season. So he's having a great year, really efficient. And he's getting out there because his offensive line has not played well. Most of his receivers have been injured for a lot of this season. I mean, really, his go-to guy is pretty much Austin Eckler. And, you know, he's got 881 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season rushing. And then he's also great in the passing game as well. He's just doing his thing both in the passing game and on the ground game. And the Chargers defense is actually starting to step it up as well, too. And they got Bosa back this past week. So they're getting ready for a playoff run. And we'll see if the Chargers are a legit team or if they just hit the wild card round and lay an egg, as they normally do. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 12-4. They did just get beat pretty bad by the Packers, and I think most of us aren't really convinced that they're as good as their record says. I kind of feel like the Vikings are just one of those many teams that we're discussing about come playoff time that really has to prove it in the postseason. But when you talk about positives with them, of course, Justin Jefferson, even though he was shut down in this last game, he's still on the season. He leads the league in receiving yards, which with 1,771 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. And then Dalvin Cook on the ground has eclipsed 1,000 yards. He's at 1,136 yards and 8 touchdowns on the ground. So both of those guys have been pretty consistent for them. I mean, overall, offensively, they've been pretty consistent. It's just their defense that's pretty questionable. And they did get romped by the Packers. And so they just keep falling in my top 10. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 8-8. And this team's just getting hotter, and they're getting hot at the right time, too. I mean, there was never a question on whether Aaron Rodgers was good. We all knew he was good. It's just the defense has performed very underwhelmingly. I think most of us expected them to be a pretty damn good defense, and so far they've been very underwhelming, except for during this winning streak. They've actually really stepped it up. They're getting a lot of turnovers lately, and they're getting turnovers with touchdowns as well. And then they're also just setting the offense up in good field position. So basically, Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones have been like the main bright spots for the team. But also, finally, the receivers are catching the passes rather than dropping them. So the Packers, while I don't believe they're a Super Bowl contender, there's a good possibility that if they make the playoffs, they could fuck up somebody's weekend come wild card weekend. Right now in the season, Aaron Rodgers has passed for 3,490 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. Aaron Jones has eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark this season with 1,073 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. And then through the air, he's caught 375 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. So Packers looking good right now. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 8-8. And this is another team that, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they're really getting it going as well. Trevor Lawrence is proving that he for sure is worth the hype and the number 1 overall pick. He's looking better each and every week. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see what the Jaguars do going into next season, because they don't have a lot of holes anymore. And so if they get some really good players, maybe like one really solid defender or two, and then maybe like one more receiver, one more big playmaker for Trevor Lawrence, I feel like the Jags could be a really good team next year, especially because they're in a bad division. So we'll see what happens with them. But on the season, Trevor Lawrence has passed for 3,901 yards. So he should be eclipsing the 4,000-yard mark this week. And then he's got 24 TDs and 8 interceptions. And then Travis Etienne, he's eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark. He's got 1,108 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns on the season. So the Jaguars look really efficient. And I have a feeling, you know, they've got a big game this weekend against the Titans. It's for the division. I've got a feeling the Jaguars are going to walk away with that one and get into the playoffs. And speaking of the playoffs, let's look at the playoff picture right now. Currently, this is how the AFC looks. The number 1 seed would go to the Kansas City Chiefs at 13-3. They have won their division. Then the number 2 seed would be the Buffalo Bills at 12-3. They have also won their division. Then the Cincinnati Bengals at 11-4. They have not won their division. That's actually what they're going to be playing for this weekend against Baltimore, but they have clinched a playoff spot. Then the number four spot would be the Jacksonville Jaguars at 8-8. And as I just said, they are going to be playing for the division against the Titans this weekend. So it's either going to be the Jags or the Titans in that number four spot. And then the wild card, we have the Los Angeles Chargers at 10-6 who have clinched the playoff spot. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at 10-6 who have also clinched the playoff spot. And then the last wild card right now would go to the New England Patriots at 8-8. But on the outside looking in, we have Miami and Pittsburgh. So we basically have in the AFC two spots up for grabs. And then really just who's going to win the North as well. That's kind of the number three spot. But essentially, there's really only two spots left for two teams in the AFC playoff picture. And then in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles would be the number one seed at 13-3. They have not won the division yet, but they have clinched a playoff spot. The San Francisco 49ers would be the number two seed at 12-4. They have clinched their division. Then the Minnesota Vikings would be the number three seed at 12-4. They have also clinched their division. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be the number four seed at 8-8, and they have also clinched their division. Then turning over to the wild card for the NFC, we have the Dallas Cowboys at 12-4. They have clinched a playoff spot, and they could potentially still win the division this weekend and also potentially get the number one seed in the league. Just depends on what happens with the Eagles and if they get, and then, of course, if they beat the Commanders this weekend. Then the New York Giants at 9-6-1 have also clinched a playoff spot. And basically, only one spot remains in the NFC, and that is this last spot in the wild card, which right now belongs to the Seattle Seahawks at 8-8. But on the outside looking in, we have Detroit and Green Bay. Detroit and Green Bay will be playing the Sunday night football game. If Green Bay wins, they are in. Detroit needs Seattle to lose. So if Seattle wins, they need Green Bay to lose. So there's just that last playoff spot open in the NFC. And as we did last week, you know, I've said before that usually the Wednesday shows are reserved for football and football only. But when we have a record-breaking night, as we once again did have in the NBA, I've got to talk about it. And on Monday night, Donovan Mitchell of the Cleveland Cavaliers went off against the Chicago Bulls in an overtime win, 145-134. He scored 71 points. Now, that is a big fucking deal because the last time anybody has scored that amount of points was Kobe Bryant back in 2006 when he dropped 81. So it's been a minute since anybody's done this. Devin Booker did drop 70 points, I believe, last year or the year before. So he's come close, but 71 points and also 11 assists on the night. And then, as I said, they went into overtime. And this was another kind of one of those almost similar to what happened with Luka Doncic the week before, is that Donovan Mitchell needed to miss a free throw and then get the putback. And he did just that to get into overtime. And then in overtime, the Cavaliers just ran away with it. So as I said, actually on Monday, my Monday show, when I was discussing the Cavaliers, Donovan Mitchell is that dude. And I feel like the Cavaliers aren't yet a championship team. Who knows, though? I mean, we've got a long season to go. But I feel like they've got to prove themselves against teams like the Bucks and the 76ers and the Celtics for me to really consider them legit in the East. But I kind of have a feeling when we get towards playoff time, if the Cavaliers are playing like this, this could be a team that really fucks some shit up for some teams out in the Eastern Conference, I believe. They've got a lot of firepower on the offensive side of the ball. And Donovan Mitchell, you know, that guy's been, he's been playing great his entire career. I remember when he really broke out with the Jazz, like five-ish years ago? It was a couple years ago. And, like, he was carrying that squad. And then he goes over to the Cavaliers and just does the exact same thing. And, I mean, he's really fitting right in. He was legitimately the missing piece to this team. So, yeah, shout out to Donovan Mitchell for having an amazing night. It's just crazy. The NBA so far, I mean, there's been some guys who have had some great games so far. And shit's getting shooken up over in the NBA. And as it should, because now that the NFL is winding down, we will all be turning our attention to the NBA. And then, of course, baseball season's right around the corner now, too, since it's January. So we're getting there. But as I said, this is going to be the last Wednesday show until next football season. So, but trust me, we're going to have plenty of football to discuss this weekend. And then, of course, for the next month and a half. And lucky for me, you know, usually this time of year, especially over the last, God, I don't even know how long, many years, it always kind of is like a depressing time of year for me because it's like, oh, cool, it's playoff time because I love the playoffs. Always love the playoffs, but usually the Cowboys aren't competitive. Well, no matter what anybody says, they actually are competitive this year, and I am super excited about what the Cowboys are going to do. Hopefully they don't let me down. You know, it's something they're known for doing, but I don't know. This team looks a little bit different, but we'll see. We will see what happens. We still have Week 18 left this weekend, and we will discuss Week 18 on Friday.